Leviticus chapter 13. Now I know one of you, or one or two of you, have thought with a reading from Mark 1. Oh, he's given us an evening off. No, I'm not that kind. But you'll see the connection. You probably already noted the connection as Paul read for us. Also, I've been kind to Paul because I've saved him from reading 59 verses. And on a hot summer's evening, I'm sure that's appreciated, not just by him, but by us all. Now, you'll find here that as we come to chapter 13, the word leprosy or leprous is quite significant, and it crops up on numerous occasions. And so we probably need to just say from the outset that as we go through this chapter, and I'm not going to go through verse by verse. I'll leave you to do that in this coming week. A bit of homework for you. But it's just worth noting that the word that's been translated for us as leprous or leprosy doesn't normally or necessarily in this chapter apply to the type of leprosy that we would often think of. When we think of those who have leprosy, it actually, in these 59 verses, we are introduced to 21 different skin complaints. Okay? 21 different skin complaints. And it can involve a very serious form of leprosy, but we'll look at that, God willing, in greater detail next week. When I was a little boy, I suffered with eczema. And occasionally now, you can always tell. I think I shared this with a couple of the ladies a few Thursdays ago. Someone said, "You've got red blotches on your face, on your cheeks." And I said, "That's because I'm under a bit of stress." You can always tell when I'm under a little bit of stress because my skin on my face starts to dry and it gets a bit blotchy. And sometimes I get these little outbreaks of the skin. But it's eczema. Our David, obviously, he's probably had it from me genetically, and his hands are quite bad and pressure points. And also, I do suffer from a little bit of asthma. And they do say, those of you who are nurses, that eczema and asthma often go together. And so there are. But as long as God gives me breath, then I will seek to praise his name and to preach his word. Maybe we can think of some of the various skin complaints that many of you in a congregation like this will have. Psoriasis. I knew a lady in Neath who had a terrible case of psoriasis. We think of eczema. We think of other skin complaints. Well, there are 21 here in various ways. The first 8 verses introduce us to various skin complaints where what we would call where there's an outbreak of the skin, or skin eruptions, I think is the correct term. In verses 9 to 17, that we see God prescribes ways to deal for, or diagnosis rather, for the priests in when someone comes with perhaps an inflamed skin, angry-looking skin. It could even be raw skin. There are some ways in which the Lord is showing the priests how they can diagnose. Verses 18 to 23 deals with boils. Verses 24 to 28 deals with burns. Here's one for me, verses 29 to 37. It talks about scales in the scalp and in the beard, and all those who are, oh no, sorry, verses 38 to 39 with clean skin, and this is all part of God's way in assisting the priest to diagnose. Here's one for me, sorry, I was a bit presumptuous there. Verses 40 to 44, skin complication associated with baldness. That, see? If you want evidence that God's word is right up to date, we've got it here in Leviticus 13. You know, and you laugh, but I think it was sometime last year that I had this little I don't know what it was. It was an irritation on my head, and I went to see someone, and he said, "Oh, it's all right." He said, "You've just been in the sun too much." I said, "Oh, yeah." Well, I said, "I've never had that problem before, but it's probably since I've moved from Merthyr Tydfil to Newport. Obviously, moved for the weather and also for tax reasons." But but there we are. And then what do we have here? Verses 45 and 46. God prescribes the treatment of leprosy. Verses 47 to 59, it's God prescribes ways in which they can deal with mold and mildew that's found in the clothing. And so all these various skin complaints, God is now giving us enormous detail in order for the priests to make a diagnosis. So imagine with me, we're at the foot, we're about a year in the wilderness, we're at the base of Mount Sinai, and then your friend comes to you and says, "Hey," he said, "look at that." He said, "I've got this irritation on my skin. What do you think? You need to go and see the priest. Go and show yourself to the priest." Really? Yeah, yeah. Because that's what God has prescribed. That's what God has ordered. And so, because they're the people of God, they want to follow God's prescribed ways of dealing with these things. And so the person would go along and show themselves to the priest. And the priest would have a look and say, "Well, okay. Have a look now whether it's on the surface or whether it's deeper, whether it's discoloration, particularly with any hair that you may have on your arm, anything like that." And say, "Well, listen, what you need to do is just keep out of the way of everyone for 7 days and come back and see me." A bit like going to the GP, really, but you're going to the priest. And then you come back in 7 days' time and the priest have another look and say, "Well, you know, I'm not quite sure if, you know, nothing has changed from 7 days or a week ago, but to be safe, you need to have another 7 days. Just find yourself, you know, a little spot away from everyone else and come back and see me in another 7 days." You go back after 14 days, and if everything is exactly the same as it was, then the priest will say, "Well, I don't think there's anything to worry about," and would pronounce that person clean. So he goes back and says, "We're all there now, base of Mount Sinai, a year after, and a year being in the wilderness. What did the priest say?" "Well, Tommy, 7 days, another 7 days, but I've been pronounced clean." "Well, that's a relief. That means it's nothing serious." However, we're told in this chapter, if it was serious, then the priest would make arrangements for the individual to be withdrawn from community involvement. But more importantly, they would be prohibited from worshipping God at the tent of meeting. And so in the passage that Paul read for us, I don't know if you noticed that in that passage that there's an emphasis on the word clean. Let's just turn to Mark 1 for a moment. And Jesus here, he's going throughout all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues, casting out demons. And then we're told, verse 40, a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will," or "if you are willing, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will," or "I am willing, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. "Now," he said, "see that you say nothing to anyone, but go," here we have it, "show yourself to the priest." And so we understand why Jesus is saying this, because Leviticus 13 helps us to understand, "And offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." And so here we see Jesus is imploring this man, who he has made clean, to go and show yourself to the priest. Let's just read some of these verses in Leviticus 13. The Lord spoke to Moses. We mustn't lose sight that this is the Lord, and he is speaking clearly to Moses and to Aaron, saying, when a person has on the skin of his body a swelling or an eruption or a spot, and it turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of his body, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons, the priests. And the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white, and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and if in his eyes the disease is checked and the disease is not spread in the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days, puts him into isolation. And the priest shall examine, verse 6, him again on the seventh day. And if the diseased area has faded and the disease has not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin after he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear again before the priest. The priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous disease. So here we have it, wholly consistent with what we've seen of late, that if they're pronounced clean, then they are ceremonially clean. If they're pronounced unclean, then they are ceremonially unclean. We saw that last week after the mother had given birth. There were stipulations, wasn't there? It wasn't because that in pronouncing them ceremonially unclean, that their uncleanness is linked to sin. Because clearly, we saw last week, it's not sinful to have children. In actual fact, by having children, you are furthering the will of God. So we need to understand that if someone has a various skin complaint and he shows himself to the priest, and he's pronounced as being unclean, he is ceremonially unclean. He is prohibited from worshipping God at the tent of meeting, that he is excluded from that. Why? Because the whole point of these regulations is to emphasize the holiness of God and the sinfulness and the impurity of man. Do you see that? And so nothing that defiles can ever enter in. That's why when we come to the New Testament, we suddenly see, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we suddenly see that all these feasts and festivals and these sacrifices, they all point us to the very work of Jesus Christ. That they're a picture of him. They are the shadows. They foreshadow the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection. He is the fulfillment of these shadows. He is the reality, to use a word that the writer to the Hebrews uses: shadows and realities. But all of these things are there in Scripture to remind us and to show us something of the holiness of God and the sinfulness and the impurity of man. Now, of course, we looked at last week a time for the mother in having time to for her body to be restored and to be renewed, for her to gain strength physically and emotionally. But it also gave her time as she pondered in the scheme and plans and purposes of God, as she pondered that the very fact that though she has by God's grace, brought another child into the world, that she has brought another sinner into the world. That even though we coo over babies that are born, and they're a gift from God, and they're an absolute delight, and they're a joy, we understand that, as David says there in the psalm, that we were conceived with a sinful nature. We possess a sinful nature. That means that we sin because that's part of our nature. We are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. We sin because we are sinners and we possess a sinful nature. And so all these regulations, and God prescribes and helps the priest here to be able to diagnose the problem, what type of skin complaint it is. A diagnosis for skin-troubled parishioners. And so as we just look at these together tonight, we need to understand that God demands purity. Who can ascend the holy hill? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, or a clean heart. How are we able to come before a holy God? How are we able to have access into his presence? Because the blood of Jesus that was freely shed for you and me, shed for the remission of our sin, cleanses us, the Bible says, makes us, pronounces us, because his blood was shed on our behalf, pronounces us clean before a holy God. And so only those who go to Christ by faith, only those who cry to Christ in faith can be pronounced clean. Let's just have a look at this for a moment. Back in Mark 1, it helps us that a leper, now here in this context, this is someone who is ostracized from the community. He is now living outside the community. He's outside the camp, outside the confines of the city. He is someone who has been given the awful diagnosis that he has leprosy, the type of leprosy far more serious than these various other skin complaints, that basically is often described as a living death, a living death. And here, this leper is basically over a 20, 30-year period. He is dying inch by inch. When part of his face becomes disfigured, where his he loses sensitivity, he loses the feeling in his hands and his feet. And it's a dreadful thing. It is a living death. Now, I want to just think for a moment that often in Scripture, this leprosy, this deep-seated skin complaint, this is way below the depths, or way below the surface of the skin, it starts seemingly, and it's the start is insignificant. It can start with a white spot, but it spreads quickly and it affects the person deeply. And we see that its impact affects the person extensively and destroys the sensitivity. And sadly, it's always deadly, apart from the miraculous touch or intervention from God. A leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling before him, said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Now, we'll just pause there for a moment. There's a gasp. Why is there a gasp? Because a leper, he approaches Jesus. He who is ostracized, he who is supposed to be living outside the camp, he approaches Jesus. And there's a gasp. But there's another gasp. Because moved with compassion, moved with pity, verse 41, Jesus stretches out his hands and he touches him. Which is actually breaking the law. He touches him. There's another gasp. The leper comes to Jesus and Jesus touches the leper. So there's a gasp. What is going on? Well, here, bear with me. I think in the text here, the emphasis on being clean actually tells us something about this leper's heart. Because I think if we read Leviticus 13, which you'll do now for homework in this coming week, and the emphasis in this text on clean, that he has a heart and a longing and a desire not to necessarily to be well, but to worship. To worship. That his longing is to be able to worship God. But that privilege has been taken from him because of his leprosy. And so he has this desire to worship. And Jesus knows his heart, and he knows that desire. And Jesus also wants to demonstrate that no man or woman or young person can be made clean or acceptable before a holy God unless God himself reaches out and touches them. If you're a Christian tonight, it's because God graciously reached out and on the authority of Scripture, and because of his Son, he's reached out and he's touched you. A holy God has intervened in your life, in your affairs, and he's reached out and touched you. And through that touch, that gracious touch from Almighty God, you are now pronounced clean. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And now I know that it is true. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Now, friends, we are all in need of a touch from God. We are all in need of God's intervention in our lives, that he might come and touch us, that he might renew us and restore us, and that he can then say, on account of his precious Son, you're clean. Why? Because through Christ, a way has been made possible for us to be made clean. See, often when we think of leprosy, and when we think of Jesus reaching out and touching this leper, we can automatically think of healing. But I don't think it's any coincidence that the emphasis in Leviticus 13, which the Jews wanted to continue to adhere to, and in this passage, the emphasis on being made clean. And then Jesus says this, which is quite staggering. He sternly charges him. And he sent him away and said, see that you say nothing to anyone. But without haste, go, show yourself to the priest. And that's the whole point of Leviticus 13. Show yourself to the priest. You got a problem? Show yourself to the priest. And the priest will declare you clean or unclean. The priest has been given wisdom from God. The priest has been given all that he needs. The priest can make a diagnosis. The priest can stand on the word of God, the diagnosis that comes from God, and he can then administer the prescription that only God prescribes. Show yourself to the priest. Now, bear with me. What relevance does that have on us tonight? Well, we're all sinners because we're all born with a sinful nature. And so, we are, if you like, we are experiencing, outside of Christ, a living death. Just as those who have this serious cases of leprosy, living death, dying inch by inch, moment by moment. If you are tonight someone who has never encountered the saving grace of God by faith in Jesus Christ, then you are a living death. And the picture of leprosy in Scripture is a reminder and a picture of our natural state, dead in our transgressions and sins. You're dead. So, as long as you're dead, you cannot respond to the gospel call because you're dead. Our son David, some years ago, used to be an embalmer. I asked him one day, I said, did you really enjoy it, Dave? He said, I did. And I'll tell you this, Dad. Never had one complaint from my clients. Not one complaint. Why is that? Because a person that is dead, physically dead, cannot respond. Neither can a person who is by nature spiritually dead, cannot respond. It requires intervention from a gracious God who breathes the breath of life into that person so that they hear the gospel. All of a sudden, my goodness! And they turn to their friend and say, was that preacher? Was that passage? Was that text? Was that sermon? Was it describing me? What must I do? And if you speak to a Christian and say, go and show yourself to the priest. Go and Leviticus 13. See, it's still relevant. Go and show yourself to the priest. Well, who is the priest? Aaron? No. Dead and long gone. His sons? No. Dead and long gone. You go to the eternal high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. You go and show yourself to the priest and you say, Lord Jesus, help me. And he will then show you by his Spirit, through his word, he will show you that what affects your heart, what affects your life, is deep-seated. It's not on the surface. It's right to the very core of your being. And so our sin is often visualized or pictured in Scripture as leprosy, our sin is the cause. But now, because God has breathed a breath of spiritual life into your hurting and paining and rebellious heart, and now as we hear the gospel, as we hear the good news, the great news that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, you're saying, but that's me. Because God in His Word is making a diagnosis of you. You're unclean. You cannot come and approach me as you are. You need to be made clean before you can come into the presence of a holy God. Do you see that? And the high priest, the great high priest, Jesus Himself, as you come to Him with nothing, nothing in your hands, with nothing with which we can barter, we come to Him and say, Lord, if You're willing, I believe You can make me clean. And Jesus says, sure I'm willing. Sure I'm willing. Not only can I make you clean, I will make you clean. Do you see that? So we don't have these accounts here just for, you know, or this will make a good little Bible story in Sunday school. We don't have all these lists of various skin complaints and the diagnosis and the prescriptions there just to fill up a few extra pages of Scripture. They're there for a reason. They're there for a purpose. For us to understand, as we saw this morning, the seriousness of our sin. And until someone understands the seriousness of their sin, they will never go and show themselves to the priest. And so sin, just like leprosy, whilst we may think it's insignificant, it spreads quickly. It affects our lives deeply. That it affects other people's lives extensively. It destroys relationships. It destroys a sensitivity to the things of God. It's deadly. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you see that? Friend, we all need a touch from God. We all require a touch from Him. But not because of our skin, but because of our hearts and our nature. And because God is holy, and through these passages, He wants to highlight not just His holiness, but our sinfulness. Verse 45, Leviticus 13. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes. So if they're pronounced that they have leprosy, then they shall wear torn clothes, let the hair of his head hang loose. And he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Here's the diagnosis. By nature, before a clean and holy God, we are unclean. And unless we show ourselves to the priest, we will never ever know that touch from God. Because the touch from heaven comes to us through the work of Christ. So this leper in Mark 1, what does he do? He breaks all social contravention. And or conventions, and he goes. And he pleads. And he begs earnestly, Lord, if you are willing. Now, this is interesting, isn't it? He's not saying, you must. Because he recognizes who Jesus is. He's God. He's the Lord God. And no one is foolish enough to try and order God around. So how do we gain a right relationship, a right standing with him? We come and we get low. And we get low. Because the entrance into his presence is coming through the lowest gate of all. It's the gate of what? Of humility. And Christ is the doorway into heaven. He is the doorway into the presence of the Father. But he is the supreme example of humility. Was willing to die in our place so souls so unworthy might live. He is willing. And listen to the authoritative word of Jesus. I am willing. I'm willing to make you clean. I'm willing to pronounce you clean. I'm willing to make you acceptable to a holy God. That's the key. And in so doing, when Jesus makes him clean, touches him, unheard of. You don't touch a leper. You don't touch someone who is pronounced unclean. But Jesus, he reaches out. He's not concerned about the criticism of his actions. He's concerned for the soul of the man. He's not concerned with the criticisms of society. He's concerned for the souls, the lost souls, the unclean souls. And only Jesus can make us clean. He touched me. Is that your testimony tonight? That the Lord of glory came and he intervened in my life and he touched me. And he forgave me. Why? Because he was willing. He was willing. There was one who was willing to die in our place. He was willing. Now tonight, he is willing to pronounce you clean. He's willing to save you. But are you willing to humble yourself and to accept God's diagnosis of your heart tonight? Your heart, my heart, our hearts are sinful and desperately wicked. And apart from the work of Jesus Christ on your behalf, then you will be pronounced unclean forever. They shouted, covering the top lip, unclean, unclean. Can you imagine that? That they lived a lonely existence. They were cut off, ostracized. No one cared. Ah. But as we were reminded this morning, God cared. Jesus cared. And so the angels in heaven care as well. Friend, can you say, he has made me clean? And if you're not sure, then ask God in the name of Jesus
Lord, give me that assurance that I can leave this place tonight knowing that before a holy God, Jesus Christ has made me clean. Well, I hope you enjoy your homework. 59 verses of Leviticus 13. And maybe God will help us to understand the seriousness of our sin, what it cost Jesus to make a sinner whole. Oh, help me understand it. Help me to take it in. What it meant to thee, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. This is God's precious word, and we thank him for it. Well, we're going to sing.